Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Thursday, February 4th, 2016, the I'm Sorry Mark Jackson crew is in the house. Sam Martin.
Dan Ralph.
Quentin Rossboro.
And we've got takes. Oh, do we have takes?
So many takes.
KD to DC?
No, bad take.
We'll see. We have a new format, I'm Sorry Mark Jackson, and that is the take clock. You will hear the intense sound effects kick in as the take clock narrows to an end. We have different takes, different clocks. Our first hot take was an article by Adrian Wojnarowski, and the 10-minute take clock starts now. Perhaps predicting Kevin Durant is going to sign with the Golden State Warriors in the offseason. Dan, you texted me immediately when this article came out, and thank you for that. What is your take?
Well, I texted you a link and then learned that I can't text you links because you have a flip phone.
flip phone struggles with the links, so
yeah.
Got an email.
Yeah. Anyways, my take was simple, like, why? Who cares? It's real simple. The Golden State Warriors are 44-4 as of today's podcast. They are on track, very well so, to the 72-10 that everyone's been hoping for. They are about to win back-to-back championships unless someone like the Cleveland Cavaliers can get their act together. And on top of all that, they're going to be looking at a three-peat next season, right? So in the offseason, I don't think that they're going to be caring much more than maybe getting some peanut butter jellies sneaking in to their workout regimen and then going back and winning it because they have a perfect lineup. They have a system that is built around their players and a seamless transition basically with any five on the court that can play defense, that can switch on defense, and that can shoot at a good enough level that you can't like hide anybody. They don't have anyone to hide. So I don't know. I think KD would fit great in that system, sure. But for me in basketball, there always has to be a why, right? Like when LeBron came back to Cleveland, the why was real simple. It's his home. He wrote a giant why in the Sports Illustrated, right? KD's not going to write a why article about this because I don't think he cares. Like, and I don't think Golden State cares either.
So I think that's fair. I think Golden State probably doesn't care in that by bringing Kevin Durant along. Yes, they get a lot better on paper, but everyone sort of has to change their role. Kevin Durant isn't going to become an Andre Iguodala super six man off the bench who takes 8 shots a game. Kevin Durant is going to be Kevin Durant. And can the rest of the team adjust to that? That being said, I don't think it's completely silly for someone like Kevin Durant to think, yo, like OKC is tight, but the Bay Area is crazy, the fans are crazy, and I have pretty much, you know, an immediate opportunity to get hella rings. And you get to play for one of the best coaches in the league.
I think there's a lot of reasons why Kevin Durant might consider it. From both perspectives, though, from the Warriors' perspective, they would have to get rid of Bogut. They're going to have to do that anyway. Mm-hmm. They're going to give him the David Lee treatment this offseason,
just
I think.
Just take him out back.
Bogut's going to
the Blue. Yeah, exactly.
Also known as getting traded to Boston with the first round pick. I think Bogut's getting traded. They would, to get Kevin Durant, have to give up Harrison Barnes, obviously, which you would give up Harrison Barnes to Kevin Durant, but and Iguodala.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is why it's not it's not a slam dunk for them.
I agree.
I think you would consider it. You would definitely consider it. But Durant's an amazing player. I love Durant. He's been amazing this season. He's better than he was before after 3 foot surgeries. I'm just so impressed with him. And obviously, he's incredibly competitive. He's very efficient, very just tenacious on both ends of the floor. Love Durant, but I don't know if he makes them better when you have to go with Iguodala and Barnes.
Totally.
And like Dan said, there's a decent chance they're coming off 2 straight rings.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're going to make any change other than the aforementioned Bogut to the Glue Factory, promoting Festus,
yeah,
and maybe drafting a center.
Yeah, just run it back until mm-hmm. the league can stop it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's my general thought. Durant, this offseason, though, is a free agent.
Yep.
What are your guys' kind of thoughts on what he's going to do? We've heard a lot about the potential of a 1 year mm-hmm. to match his free agency with Russell Westbrook. Seems likely. Dan, what do you think he's going
to
do?
So when I approach this, I have to say I feel like a lot of people take the mentality that happened with – and the psyche that LeBron had when he moved to Miami and then when he moved back to Cleveland and they put it on KD. They see another superstar who's approaching free agency and they think, okay, you know, where's this guy want to go? There's this rumor that he could be going back to D.C., right, that he could want to go home. I think that's wrong. There's a rumor now that he could go to Golden State. And then there's also the rumor that it could stay, right? These things all make sense, but I think when you look at who KD is a person versus a player like LeBron, KD's played on a franchise where he hasn't really gotten what he wanted. You know, they went and they traded away Harden. They gave him Dion Waiters and Enes Kanter. I mean,
they traded James Harden?
Everybody's running the James Harden
trade. Boom, there it is.
So, you know, in the end, I think KD's going to want to stay, but he's going to want to be in a position where he can get more power and start to make the basketball decisions that will help like empower him to the next step in his legacy to win a championship. And so I think the only places that he would even consider is a place that has a lot of room to make moves and to bring in the players that he wants. And the only place that I could see that would do that, who also has a really good point guard, is, wait for it, it's the land.
No!
Portland, guys. Portland.
Interesting.
Anyways.
Wow. I was sure you were going to say the 76ers and Ish Smith.
MVP candidate Ish Smith. I like that. I think Portland makes a lot of sense. I think Durant, if he leaves, he's going to try and get out of the Western Conference because the East is, you know, the East.
Yeah.
Washington, maybe.
Just a player away with the Washington Wizards.
Right, exactly. New York would be very, very interesting. Also, the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat are probably going to let Whiteside go. They need to figure out what they're going to do with Dwayne Wade's contract. But, mm-hmm. you know, Pat Riley wants Kevin Durant on the Miami Heat.
Well, every team wants Kevin Durant on their team.
Exactly.
I just don't see the Heat as being very good yeah. going forward. I mean, they have yeah. Justice and, you know, Bosch obviously still great, but Dragic, Wade, both those guys are going downhill,
yeah.
mm-hmm. And they don't work together, so they can only really keep one of them going forward. Whiteside's going to go out the door for them to afford a big free agent. I don't know if I see that. I think
Wade would have to go too if that happened. I mean, I don't think they re-sign Wade if they sign Durant.
It depends. I think Durant, you could, if, let's say Durant signs, I think you could convince Dwayne Wade, like, hey, take a discount for one last run. You
know? It's not a discount. He's not going to be worth that much.
Yeah, true. Good
he's,
point.
He's just, he's yeah. old, and he's a shooting guard who can't shoot threes.
Yeah.
I think there's, you know, a lot of talk about Westbrook going to the Lakers in that offseason. Do you see the sort of nightmare potential of, let's say, you know, Julius Randle comes along, D'Angelo yeah. Russell comes along, Jordan Clarkson comes along, Lakers keep their pick this year, maybe they get Ben Simmons,
yeah.
wait a year, sign D'Angelo, sign Kevin Durant, the apocalyptic scenario. What do you think the probabilities are on that?
I mean, essentially, it would be like, okay, let's take the Thunder and put them in Los Angeles with some younger players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's pretty enticing.
I like
Los Angeles is tight.
Yeah.
Can they get Ibaka, though? I feel like
if all three of them just sign with the Lakers, that would be ridiculous. But
yeah.
anything could happen in the NBA, man.
Yeah, anything could happen in the foxhole. I don't know. I think the thought of the Lakers somehow like coming out of this like awful Kobe tour that they have with a good team just makes me a little sick to my stomach. It makes me sad that a team like the Sixers can be doing this process for so long and failing at it, and then the Lakers secretly also have a process that also involves this like star tour for Kobe, and then at the end of it they could wind up with Ben Simmons.
The Lakers' secret weapon is Byron Scott.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The Tank Commander General, baby.
Is Byron Scott the worst coach you've ever seen in the NBA?
Well, it depends. Do we think Byron Scott is trying?
Well, he's actively antagonizing young, like D'Angelo Russell.
Right.
Like, it's like a Full Metal Jacket situation where he's the drill instructor,
right,
and Vincent D'Onofrio is D'Angelo Russell. Like, he's trying to just kill his spirit.
So I think, you know, it's
quite 45 seconds on the take clock.
This
get
is
it
in. Take. But I think, like, Byron Scott is probably just like a wrestling heel where he really, I mean, he enjoys making people mad. He knows that this season is over. He knows that this is probably his last year coaching in the NBA. He's going along with the ride, taking as he's being told to do, making his team worse so they can keep the pick.
I'm going to sneak in a take here.
Fuck!
Who's really good at hiring Cavs fired coaches? The Lakers. Who's the next coach of the Lakers? One, David Blatt.
Interesting.
That is actually not that surprising to take.
I think that would actually be a good hire for them right now.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah. Nice. Well, we did it. 8 seconds left on the take clock, and we're moving on. All right, next up, we have 15 minutes on the tape clock. A really nice kind of comprehensive setup here. We're talking about this upcoming restricted free agent class, which is the players from the 2012 NBA draft. Tape clock, 15 minutes, starts now. Restricted free agents this year: Brad Beal, Dion Waiters, Harrison Barnes, Andre Drummond, Myers Leonard, Mo Harkless, Tyler Zeller, Terrence Jones, Monty Unis, Evan Fournier, Sullinger, Festus, Boban.
The Plum Lord.
Plum Lord.
Oh, Anthony Bainett? Oh. How is he restricted free agent? I think he's
just a free agent.
Yeah, he's a complete free agent.
Sports track, you're right.
Anthony Bennett is as available as I am. Anyway, some interesting restricted free agents in this class. Let's kind of go through any initial things that jump out at you guys. Players you think might move, any obvious extensions?
I mean, Terrence Jones and Donatas Montiunas, they're sort of the pieces that are most likely to move. The Rockets have been looking for a power forward for probably the last 10 years, and they still haven't found him yet. And I'm not sure they trust either of those players for whatever reason to be the power forward of the future. So I could easily see either of them or both of them moving, you know, by the trade deadline or by free agency, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, those are good players.
They're both good, damn, is a thing.
Right. But I think they're good not in a, we need you to produce right now good, but good in a, like, hey, we're like a young team that's trying to, like, make some waves. It's like Boston would love one of those two guys, even though they have, like, 10 power
forwards.
Yeah. But a team like that where it's like, okay, expectations are low, but let's try and win some games. Mm-hmm. Moving to the Rockets where it's sort of like, we need to win now and beat the Golden State Warriors. I'm not sure either of those guys is the guy.
Yeah, they've been playing Capella a lot.
Which is so weird.
Forward.
And I like Capella a lot as a player, but I don't know if I like
him more of a center.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I feel like Monty Unis should be their guy. Like, he's good. He can make threes. Got a post-up game. Pretty good rebounder. Maybe I just need to watch the Rockets more to see why that's not working. I know he's been hurt a lot.
He's been hurt, and I think the other thing is, like, he is certainly a stretch for. He's not necessarily a playmaking four. It's like if you get the ball to him in the corner, he's not going to pump fake, drive, and find, you know, someone for three. He's going to take the shot or turn the ball over.
I have to be honest. I really only know a couple things about Monty Unis or Jones, and it's because they were on my fantasy teams last year and were both very good.
They're both super productive fantasy
they
guys.
They were me trying to add Terrence Jones and being confused and accidentally adding the wrong player.
Who did you add?
Monty Unis.
Oh, okay.
And that other guy whose name's escaping me. Is this Dan's Alzheimer's moment? Of the podcast? and then the other thing that the reason why I don't really know that much about these players is because they play for the Rockets, who are the most unwatchable team in this league.
Yes.
Because it's basically either watching Clint Capella or Dwight Howard go to the foul line because of hacking, or watching our good friend James Harden go to the foul line because that's apparently how he thinks basketball's played.
Okay, we don't need to go into whether or not James Harden plays good basketball, because I feel like we're going to destroy
yes.
this take.
Well, all right, anyway.
But, so let's look at some other restricted free agents. I think the other big interesting one, obviously, is Harrison Barnes. We talked about it earlier. He is a key part of this team, of the Golden State Warriors. He plays down the stretch. He hit a game winner a couple nights ago.
Mm-hmm.
But he wants to get paid. And the Warriors have a lot of people to pay.
That's true. I think with the escalating cap, you know, they're going to be able to keep those guys, you know, with the aforementioned Bogut phasing out,
right.
shall we say.
Right.
They need it.
Yeah.
They need him, or a player who's just as good, who there aren't many of. You know, you try to bring in, like, Trevor Ariza
right.
and save some money on it that way. But I think they need him, and... You know, Draymond took a discount to stay there.
Certainly.
Curry took a huge discount on the last contract. That was injury related.
Right.
He's not going to be cheap this time. They've got Draymond and Thompson locked up.
Yeah.
The thing with the Warriors is they have Barnes and Festus
yep.
this offseason, who both are going to need money. You know, centers still have value in the NBA.
Especially ones that block shots like him.
Yeah. You know, he's not in the... he's not in the Oshik,
right.
unplayable, useless category. He's very good, very athletic, nice finisher. So they need to keep both those guys. How they make that work, you know, I'm kind of thinking that Golden State's going to have this Chicago Cubs, like, Theo Epstein is the GM of the Chicago Cubs. He has, like, Jedi mind powers over free agents, and he gets them all to take under market contracts
right.
to come be a part of the team. I wonder if something like that's going to happen. And if not... I think the Warriors can afford it.
Yeah.
Azealia's not going to be a max. Barnes, I don't see him getting a max offer.
Yeah, but it's hard not to see a team that doesn't have a center shooting for it. Do you know what I mean? Either A, thinking, you know, what's the worst that could happen? B, let's fuck with the Warriors and make them pay for this team. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Like Portland, that's exactly what Portland did with Penis Cantor.
Yeah.
you know what I mean?
Yeah, max out Festus or
yeah.
max out Barnes. I think that makes sense.
You know what I mean?
I mean, the Warriors game, right, has to be go and get a center to replace Bogut and then go over the cap, right? Because, like, it's inevitable at this point with either Barnes or Festus, you're eventually going to have to go over with the size of those contracts.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I think they just need to get one more free agent that can take them through this three-peat, possible four-peat,
mm-hmm.
and then they're going to have to max out Curry next season anyways. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, Curry's got a big, big, big contract coming, and rightly so.
Yeah.
Andre Drummond is going to do the Kawhi Leonard move this offseason
yeah.
where the Pistons will try to sign a free agent. Ryan Anderson! in the meantime, Deion Waiters is a restricted free agent. What do you guys think is going to happen with him? Let's say Oklahoma City does not win the title and Kevin Durant resigns on a one-year contract.
He probably takes a qualifying offer.
Interesting.
I mean, takes a qualifying offer, becomes a free agent next year, and then picks a spot.
Yeah.
I think he probably feels like he is not in a position where he can show off as good as he thinks he is, and he probably wants to get out fast. So
yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
what's up with Beal?
Beal's gonna get a max. He's when healthy a max player, and I don't think the Wizards can afford to lose him at this point. Sort of an Eric Gordon type situation where
yeah.
Or maybe even a Steph Curry type situation where you
yeah.
sign him and say,
let's hope
you know,
it's not an Eric Gordon situation.
Yeah, exactly. And hope that he can get his injuries in line.
Yeah.
Maybe if something crazy happens, like someone like Blake Griffin or DeMarcus Cousins demands a trade or something, then yeah, Beal would be at peace. But I think short of those type of players, I don't think Beal anywhere.
I think he's the most tradable of those players we were talking about there, just like in terms of talent and this kind of movability for restricted free agents. Like, Wizards are definitely underperforming right now.
Yeah.
I think they would love an opportunity to maybe acquire a first-round pick and get a shot at Ben Simmons.
But we don't even have to trade. We're out of the playoffs.
Yeah, that's true. That's really true.
You know?
But
so I think that's interesting.
One guy that really intrigues me in this class is Evan Fournier.
Don't Google.
On the Magic. In case you guys couldn't tell. Just threw up his stats
yeah.
here on the big screen. Fournier is a really good three-point shooter.
He's really good.
Really efficient scorer. Decent defender. Can play the two or the three. What do you think's going to happen with him? Because the Magic have Hezonja. They have Oladipo. They have Elfrid Payton. They've got some young guards they really like. You know, do you think they're going to try to keep him? They just spent a ton of money on Tobias Harris.
Yeah.
And I think Vucevic has a big contract too. Yeah. So they're running out of dollars, and their team's kind of not that good right now.
Yeah, they had that super hot run to start the season, but they've cooled off a lot recently. It's going to be interesting to see where he goes. I think there are a lot of teams that could use him. Denver, the team that traded him away, could use him right about now, I think. You know,
although they have Harris
Gary
and
Harris
Barton,
is great.
And I'm trying to think, and Gallo plays small forward for
them.
True. So they got some depth at those positions. He's a good player. I, you know where he would be a great fit is Oklahoma City.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that would be
absolutely.
If they could trade Deion Waiters for Evan Fournier. Boy, I bet they would do that.
He reminds
Sorry,
me
Dan.
A lot.
Would they though? I almost feel like Deion Waiters has dropped to this point, and I'm really sorry to say this. I don't even think he's worth an Evan Fournier contract.
No.
Right?
No, they couldn't get him.
No, they
that's
couldn't.
That's the thing. They would if they could.
Like, and a pick, maybe? But I mean,
yeah.
Thunder's Fournier reminds me a lot of a Orlando Magic JJ Redick, where he kind of, you know, initiate the offense with the dribble, can shoot really well, surprisingly good on the drive.
Yeah.
Like, he is a very, very sort of, like, sneakily good NBA shooting guard that I think could be acquired for not very much.
It'll be interesting to see who makes a run at him. Anybody else on this list jump out at you guys?
Anthony Bennett, Alan Crabb.
Alan Crabb is interesting.
Did I see Alan Crabb on there?
Yeah, Alan Crabb is very interesting.
Yeah, he was a draft pick that Cleveland picked up late first round and seems to be doing really well right now with Portland.
Nice little bench score plug.
Yeah, I mean, I got to think that they're going to figure out a way to pay him, especially with how much cap space they have.
Yeah.
But
yeah, very good shooter. Producing pretty nice little line here this year. Wow. Shooting 55% effective field goal percentage. Very nice job, Alan Crabb. I'm proud of you. We have
just under
5 minutes on the take clock, and I want to go back to the 2012 NBA draft. Very nice draft here, and we're going to debate the proper order of this draft. All right, I'm just going to say it. Best player in this draft, Draymond Green.
Get out. Get out.
Clearly the best player.
Draymond Green, great player, not better than Anthony Davis.
All right, fine.
Okay.
I'll give you the brow, should be the number one overall pick. I think a solid argument could be made that Draymond is the second best player in this draft.
I probably would still go Drummond number two, but I agree with you. I think if I was a blank slate, I would probably take Andre Drummond because I know...
You take Drummond over Lillard.
I would take Drummond over Lillard because I know he's going to get rebounds. I know he's going to get points. He's not going to make any free throws, but he's sort of an easier piece to build around than a Draymond Green who, as far as we know, is more of a system type of guy. He thrives in the system, but I'm not sure if he's sort of a foundational sort of building block. And then Lillard is tough because he's old. Not like super old, but if I'm taking a 19-year-old center or a 24... soon to be 25-year-old point guard, I'm going with the 19-year-old center.
Draymond the dog is Lillard's sad about this take.
Lillard's tough because he plays really bad defense, and I don't know. I actually side on the Draymond side for this one. I feel like Draymond, yes, he fits really well in the Warriors system, and the Warriors system is basically flawless. You know, you have two of the best shooters in the NBA. And then he can space the floor. But I really think Drummond has some weaknesses in terms of the fact that he basically can just run a pick and roll. And his free throw shooting is like historically bad. And so I look at those things. I look at Draymond, who's kind of more fit for the way that teams are trying to build right now with the small ball lineups. And like if I'm picking, I mean, I guess Anthony Davis still probably number one just because of his kind of freak athletic ability. But then number two,
you have
I go
to
Draymond.
In a rational world, take Anthony Davis number one because he's just a game-changing player on both ends. My big argument in favor of Draymond is that defense is half the game.
Totally.
And Drummond isn't there yet as a defender. And Lillard struggles a lot on defense. Draymond really makes huge impact on both ends of the court. I think you, any way you slice it, you have Davis on a tier by himself.
Yeah.
Then we have a second tier of Lillard, Drummond, Draymond Green. And then I think a very short step down from there, Bradley Beal and Harrison Barnes.
Agreed.
I'd have to say I'd put Barnes ahead of Beal because of health, defense, rebounding. What do you guys think?
I think if I'm, again, if I'm drafting, I would probably take Beal because he can do a little bit more on his own. I don't know what the rest of my team is like. Bradley Beal can handle the ball. He can obviously shoot the ball. Maybe he will only play 48 games a year. Maybe he'll get better. But I think if I don't know what else is around me, I'm going to take the guy who can do a little bit more.
Yeah, and I mean, we talk about defense. I mean, Beal, I think, is of that class of guard that's, you know, you can say two-way with, you know, he's pretty good. The other players I want to point out here, there's a lot of great shooters in this draft.
Totally.
I was kind of like shocked. I kind of ate crow when we started and I said that this draft class was crap. But then I forgot that like Chris Middleton and like Jay Crowder, who have kind of turned it on recent, but I mean, they're really great.
One of the best second rounds you will see. Yeah. You got Draymond in the second round, Bay Chowder, Chris Middleton, and Will Barton. All really, really nice players. A couple other guys that are in the first round here, Evan Fournier, Sullinger, Festus. God, what a draft by the Warriors. Harrison Barnes, Festus, and Draymond Green. They picked Draymond third. We got 37 seconds left on the take clock. Anybody else in this draft who really jumps out at you guys as being exceptional?
John Henson.
John Henson.
John Henson is really good. It sucks that he's stuck behind, like I said right now, Greg Monroe for at least the next 2 weeks, but
yeah.
And I will say one player is exceptionally bad on that list, and that's Austin Davis. Wait, it's not
Rivers.
His name.
Austin Rivers.
Austin Davis is also a terrible quarterback, but Austin Rivers, yes.
Yeah, I think there's at least 10 players who would take over Austin Rivers in that spot. If you could
super
do that over in New Orleans.
I feel bad for New Orleans.
I don't.
That's the take clock.
And the buzzer. Okay. Next up, it's time to serve the base. All right, we are going to go 3 minutes each, and we're going to get after it, and we're going to serve our respective bases. Dan, tell us about Cleveland.
All right. I was a little bit tipsy last night, and I created a note for myself on this lovely iPhone I had here called Cavs Facts. Let's read them.
Hashtag Cavs Facts.
Hashtag Cavs Facts.
Since January 23rd, all right, Cavs have been playing at an up-tempo, right?
Yeah.
False. Cavs are playing at the third slowest pace in the NBA at 93.5 possessions per game. They're having a really great time on offense, right? And it looks like they finally are showing some defensive effort. Sure, except you're wrong, because they actually have a defensive rating of 108.7 points allowed per 100 possessions, which is actually not even as many possessions that they have in a game these days.
How are they 5-1?
So then how are they 5-2, you ask, in the past 7 games? Well, I definitely don't know, because Kyrie Irving has been shooting 3 of 22 from the three-point line, and the only player that's been shooting worse from the three-point line in the NBA in these 7 games, can you name him?
LeBron James.
It's LeBron James. He's made 1 of 19. On the other side, can you name the two best three-point shooters in the league in the past 7 games?
Steph Curry, J.J. Redick.
Nope, Klay Thompson. So
who's the second one?
Steph and Clay.
Okay.
Right?
Damn.
Meanwhile, JR has been playing decent, and people have been talking about how they've been having some great minutes, and that's good and all, because, you know, Shump, JR, and Love all have seen more minutes. But I want to talk about usage for a second here, because Love, who everyone keeps talking about, looks great. I want to point out he actually has been used 1% point less in these past 7 games than has averaged throughout the season. So either the answer is he's actually being used the same amount, or if you want to nitpick, it's actually less. And finally, field goal percentage attempts. No, okay, sorry. Field goal attempts percentages, right? So this is the percent of possessions in which the player actually attempts the field goal, right? So people are saying, oh, they're finding Love more. Love has the exact same field goal attempt percentage before and after these past seven games. So I ask you, are the Cavs better with with Lou? I say absolutely not. Okay, I am still woke, and I know that that Blatt is the one true God. Wow. And I don't even need these last 30 seconds, but we're out of here. These are Cavs facts.
Oh, oh my God. Wow.
Oh, my God. How do you follow that?
I don't know, Quentin, but you're going to do your best.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right.
Washington professional basketball team, 3 minutes.
So the Washington Wizards are in the midst of sort of the hardest stretch of their schedule. They played the Rockets on Sunday, the Thunder on Monday, and then the Warriors last night. They beat the Rockets, surprisingly, in a game where Randy Whitman coached a couple hours of learning that his brother passed away. Really sloppy, ugly game. Kind of surprised that the Wizards won that one. But then they went to the Thunder, got smacked up real quick. I think they gave Russell Westbrook a triple-double in the first half. Pretty ugly.
And then the Steph Curry game
happened.
Eight of nine on threes in the first quarter.
So it's pretty clear the Wizards...
51 points.
They tried to do what we actually said you should do to stop the Warriors, which is let Steph get his and then guard everyone else. But we didn't realize that Steph getting his was hitting nine or eight threes in the first half.
First quarter.
It was first crazy. Quarter. It was absolutely crazy. I've never seen anything like it in my life.
He was unconscious and... It turned after a point where you're like, obviously that's going.
Yeah, exactly.
Why are you letting
him
shoot
that? Why would
it
not go?
But he's picking the balls off the floor. Yeah. 31
feet. Oh, and none of those shots, one of those shots was open. Every single shot was very well contested. It was incredible.
There's nothing they could
really interesting about
the
game, though, however, was that the Wizards came back, and that game was not even close to a blowout.
Yeah.
And I think what I noticed was very interesting was, one, when the Warriors get ahead, they get kind of loose and kind of silly. They turn the ball over like crazy. And two, the Wizards stopped trying to run a sort of modern offense and just kind of went one-on-one. And I think that's a really interesting way to think about stopping the Warriors, because their strength, obviously, is their team defense. They have a lot of players who are not great individual defenders. So when John Wall saw Steph Curry, he just posted it up and went right by him to the leg.
In praise of John Wall,
monster
41
game.
And 10 in
monster
that
game.
Yeah.
I John Wall is top 3-point guard right now.
Yeah. I think so. I mean, if you look at you know, interesting stat, points responsible for, John Wall was responsible for more points than Steph Curry was the other night.
Yeah.
62.
It was a beast. Mm-hmm. Somebody, I forget what podcast, was like, how about a Kyrie for John Wall trade?
Not even close.
John Wall is way better than Kyrie in, like, almost every way.
Yeah.
That was, I think, Chris Paul, Russell, Westbrook, Steph Curry, and John Wall are the top 4-point guards
right
now.
I agree.
Yeah.
So what's great is the Wizards have had probably the second hardest strength of schedule so far, and it shows because they're, like, the 12th seed in the East right now. They have the easiest schedule for the rest of the year, and I think they're only 5 games out of the playoffs right now.
15 seconds. Do the Warriors make the playoffs this year or not?
The Wizards,
sorry.
The Wizards do not make the playoffs this year.
Okay.
Who they drafted?
I don't know.
Dragon. You want Dragon. All right. Look up this man.
No,
Dragon Bender?
Yeah.
I don't know who they draft. They probably draft a center. I don't watch college basketball.
He's a center. His
college
name's Dragon.
It does. He's being enumerated. 3 minutes on the Detroit Pistons. First off, I just want to praise somebody on the Pistons who gets overlooked a lot by me, especially because I dream of Ryan Anderson on the Pistons a lot on this podcast. Ersan Ilyasova. He's pretty good.
He's your favorite punching bag.
Well, he's I don't even – there's nothing I don't like about Ersan. He's a good player. He over the last couple months – well, February, we're barely in February. But February and January, he's averaging, I think – 13 points a game. He's been attacking the basket a lot more. We know he's a really good shooter. His rebounding has actually been pretty solid.
Nice.
And he plays tenacious defense. He's not necessarily a very talented or athletic defender, but he plays pretty hard on that end. I've been very impressed with Ersan. I don't think he's the long-term answer. The Pistons need something more out of that spot in the long run, specifically Ryan Anderson. but I think Ersan's had a really nice year. Another thing about the Pistons, I brought him up last time, Stanley Johnson. Started tonight, the Pistons are playing the Knicks on this fine evening, and
before you say that, I'm on Twitter, you might want to check the score.
Oh, did New York come back?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The Pistons were up by 36 at halftime. And they are up by 4. Wow. Close game. But
sorry, I didn't mean to.
No.
I didn't want you to make a take that you would have regretted.
No, it's totally fair. Still, Stanley in this game has 18 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, and his first start, I think. I am very high on Stanley.
Love right now. Stanley Johnson.
As I have been all year. Very, very high on Stanley. KCP slipped on a wet spot in the TD Garden and pulled his groin last night.
Oh, that's the worst.
Which
did
is
they,
terrible.
Did they switch from ice as one of those situations?
Exactly. Yeah. Cold spot on the floor. Him and Crowder both slipped on it, and KCP got hurt. So get well soon, KCP. The Pistons are going to need you back. But Detroit, hanging in there, still chugging along. I think they're like the 7th seed right now in the East. Consistently inconsistent. Very interesting to see. With 35 seconds left on the take clock, just want to take down one thing. I saw the people putting out a Brandon Jennings for Thad Young trade. Whew. Makes no sense. Pistons are not doing that.
Yeah, I don't
they're not going to commit to Thad Young long term as their power forward.
Brandon Jennings is at least worth 3 Thad Young.
I don't know about that. If Thad Young
is good. Thad Young is probably better than Brandon Jennings.
If he had a better contract, totally. But I think it's tough to commit to that much long-term money.
I just don't think Brandon Jennings has that much value, and that move doesn't make sense for the Pistons right now. All right. We served the base. We're going to throw 10 minutes up on the take clock, or sorry, 5 minutes up on the take clock, and we're going to talk about All-Star Saturday. We have the dunk contest, we have Rising Stars Challenge, we have the skills competition. Is there anything else that goes
three-point
on? Three-point contest.
Yeah, true.
Of course.
Let's skip the – do we want to talk about Rising Stars?
I just want
to – okay.
We're going to start the take clock right now. Quick take on the Rising Stars Challenge. World team going to dominate.
Yeah.
Capella – Jokic, Kristaps, dominant front court.
Ridiculously dominant front court.
They didn't even put Boban on the team.
They don't need to, bro. It's crazy.
They're outstanding. And Trey Lyles also kind of a combo forward. Moutier, Wiggins, pretty nice backcourt. U.S. team, you got Clarkson, bunch of guys who played for Duke and Kentucky. D'Angelo Russell in there. I don't think they stand much of a chance. Carl Towns, really nice. We have the whole Timberwolves roster
exactly.
in this game, by the way.
The only way Team USA has a chance is if Zach LaVine goes crazy.
Yeah.
And he's been having a really, really good year. Like, he can kind of shoot now, which is kind of cool.
They really need to play him in shooting guard.
Agreed.
Next to
Rubio. He's not a backup point guard.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah. Doesn't
you
make
can
sense.
Just trade for Brandon Jennings.
Yeah, exactly. Trade for
right?
Brandon Jennings.
He's available. Trade for Brandon Jennings. Okay. Let's talk gun.
Dunk contest.
Gunk contest, right. Which is what cleaning my kitchen is called.
No,
we're going to talk about the dunk contest.
There's 4 participants in the dunk contest this year. Zach LaVine back to defend his title. Will Barton of the Nuggets, Aaron Gordon of the Magic, and everyone's favorite hairy-shouldered center, Andre Drummond.
I don't know if Andre Drummond's going to be able to do anything.
Stop putting big men in the dunk contest.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense to me.
What if he put some Velcro up on the backboard and then jumped and stuck himself to the backboard and just threw it down through the hoop?
Ten.
I mean, but we know Drummond's just going to do like a big windmill.
Yeah, he's going to throw off the glass and do a windmill. Like,
yeah, and he's going to miss it the first time.
He is goofy enough to like throw out some crazy props, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Props don't do it for me in the dunk contest.
It depends. Birthday cake, the Gerald Green, great use of props, where he put the cupcake on the rim and then caught the alley-oop and blew out the candle and then dunked it.
That was pretty nice.
Great prop.
Nice.
Some props are bad, though. Actually, you know what? Another prop that doesn't get enough credit. Remember when Jeremy Evans, he dunked over, like, so basically there was like an easel and it was covered and he dunked over it, and then he took off the easel, and it was a painting. He painted of himself dunking over a painting of him dunking over himself. That was the greatest thing ever.
That was pretty amazing. That was like a Stephen Colbert,
yeah.
The painting in front of the painting of himself. Yes, absolutely. The problem with the dunk contest, though, is that every dunk that human beings can do has been done.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's all about your presentation, if you will, how you mix the ingredients.
I really was not a big fan of Zach LaVine's, like, Looney Tunes dunk.
Bro, Toon Squad, dog. Not Looney Tunes.
Whatever. It was garbage. Like, I don't care about what shirt you're wearing. Just, like, go and actually do a dunk.
No, I thought
and
it was
his
tight.
Dunks were great. I will use my P word on this. It were phenomenal. But it really, to me, like, what was good about them was just that they were exciting and that they were different.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree.
Like, I don't care about what shirt you wear, who you bring out that you dunk over. Like, just make me go, wow.
Yeah. So, Zach LaVine, it's a favorite. I don't see anyone beating Zach LaVine.
Aaron Gordon, sleeper?
Aaron Gordon, I think, would be the sleeper. Mm-hmm. That guy he throws down some savage dunks.
It's true.
In games. Let's talk about the three-point contest.
All right, I got the lineup here. We got two Warriors, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, J.J. Redick of the Clippers, Chris Middleton, James Harden, Chris Bosh, Kyle Lowry, Devin Booker, and J.R. Smith has been left off, actually. Sorry.
No J.R. Smith, contrary to...
haters.
Well, yeah, contrary to
Lay the
wishes.
Pipe. Lay the pipe.
We got 1 minute left in the tick clock. Chris Bosh would be the biggest upset here.
Yeah,
I'm kind of rooting for Chris Bosh, and the fact that he has a set shot works in his favor.
Exactly. That's why I don't think Steph's going to win this.
No.
He's a jump shooter, and he needs to shoot off the dribble. He's never won a three-point competition. I don't see it.
I would say Redick is the
favorite. Steph won it last year.
Did he win it last
year? Yeah, he's defending it. He won it last year.
Are you sure?
100% positive.
All right. Well, okay. I would say J.J.
Redick.
I would say J.J. Redick is my favorite.
Says defending champion star Steph Curry.
I'm going Devin Booker, baby.
Devin
he's
Booker
on fire right now.
Okay, Chris Bosh, Team Bosh, undefeated. They took away the Shooting Stars challenge.
That's true. He is undefeated.
Bosh is he's coming. He's coming.
That's I'm really excited. It's gonna be a great contest.
Yeah, and then if not, I would really, really love to see J.J. Redick just light it up.
Yeah,
J.J. Redick's gonna light it up. I think James Harden also has a shot because he pretty much shoots his shit.
Right, we only have 10 seconds left on this skills challenge. Beverly, McCollum, Thomas, Clarkson, Cousins, Towns, Davis, Green.
Who Beverly wins? Doesn't lose.
Draymond Green. Okay. All right. That's all we got for this week of I'm Sorry, Mark Jackson. I want to thank you guys for listening. Subscribe on iTunes if you haven't yet. Give us a rating, although not an honest rating if you don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Dan got a message from someone that called this podcast unlistenable. Constructive criticism would be helpful.
Dude, our podcast efficiency rating is real high, though. We've got a lot of potential.
Yeah. We do. Exactly. We've got great length.
Dude, the takes for 36 are off the charts.
That's all for this week. We'll see you guys next week. Enjoy the All-Star Weekend.
Woo!
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.